Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto has amazing selection for just about any kind of vehicle at reliably low prices. They have all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. In today's episode, I think we'll look at some winners and losers through early free agency in the National Hockey League, because it's probably going to be most of the offseason movement. But first, I would like to do a little bit of a tribute, I guess, to David Krejci, the Boston Bruins center who is headed back to play in the Czech Republic this season. And I always liked watching David Krejci play. He wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the strongest, he wasn't the fastest, but he was a smart player with great vision on the ice who rose to the challenge in the playoffs. In 2010-2011, when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, Krejci led the postseason with 23 points in 25 games. 2012-2013, the Bruins went to the final, and Krejci led the playoffs with 26 points in 22 games. That's really impressive to lead playoff scoring when, as much as he was a productive regular season scorer, David Krejci was never a league leader type of scorer. So the fact that he led the playoffs in scoring twice, that's a big credit to him. In those two seasons there, 2011-2013, Boston scored 67.1% of goals during 5-on-5 play with Krejci on the ice. He had a 52.1% Corsi, but obviously, the goal differential was rather lopsided there. And there were times that he could get overshadowed in Boston. When you play behind Patrice Bergeron, that can happen. And especially when Bergeron is on a line with Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak. And as the years went on, it became a bit of a thing that the Bruins couldn't find suitable wingers to play with Krejci on the second line. You know, there was some hope that Jake DeBrusk would be a guy. And there were times where there was some success there. But not enough, and there just ended up being kind of a revolving door of players on David Krejci's wing until, of course, they acquired Taylor Hall at the trade deadline last season, and things really started to click. Krejci, who had kind of been scuffling along for much of the season, finished with 21 points in the last 16 games of the regular season, playing alongside Taylor Hall, and in 193 minutes of 5-on-5 play, when Hall and Krejci were on the ice, Bruins outscored opponents 14-1. They had a 65.7% Corsi, 68.1% expected goals. I mean, they were dominant, best line in the league kind of performance in that short span. And so it's kind of tough if you're a Bruins fan to see Krejci leaving under those circumstances. That and I'm sure it's tough if you're Taylor Hall. You know, you sign your contract extension and probably have hopes that you're going to be continuing to play with Krejci where you're having real success. But I'm going to guess that as much as this is Krejci wants to return to the Czech Republic, where he wants to have his kids raised there as well, that if the Boston Bruins had come with you know, the right price tag, that might have altered his decision. And so Krejci goes back to play in the Czech Republic, and that's, you know, he was a key player on a Stanley Cup champion, made the Stanley Cup final two more times, and now it's going to be up to the Bruins to try and fill that hole. I mean, Jack Stanicka might be the prospect who gets the first look there as the second line center, but, you know, given who the Bruins have on their roster right now, maybe Eric Haula, maybe Nick Foligno get a chance in there. I suppose Charlie Coyle would be an option as well, but I mean, Coyle struggled as the third line center last year. I don't know if you want to raise his responsibility. And really, any of those things might work out. I mean, if you've got Taylor Hall and Craig Smith on your wings, there's a chance to have some play driving success. But I don't think you're going to pull any of those guys and get the same results you would have had out of David Krejci. So, you know, farewell to a really talented player who had some really strong seasons, in especially postseasons in the National Hockey League. And so I suppose I also should touch on the allegations against Sharks winger Evander Kane. His soon-to-be ex-wife accused Kane of throwing games, betting on Sharks games, and betting on hockey. And that's obviously a huge no-no. And really, that's the way it is for all professional sports, and everyone's known this, at the very least since Pete Rose got banned from baseball. And in general, I think you see a lot of people who will point to Kane's 2021 season, which was very productive for the Sharks, say there's no way this could have happened. He had a really good year, was one of the most reliable players. And the other point of it would be that it's really hard for a left winger to throw the results of an actual hockey game. I suppose if you're picking the Sharks to lose a game, maybe Evander Kane just helps ensure those results in theory, he's not going to go out and score a hat trick to shock whoever the heavy favorite is, but that really isn't how the throwing of games typically works. And so I'm not sure about that aspect of it, but I guess what we also know is that Kane has run into financial difficulties in the past, in part because of his gambling. And when those debts start to accumulate, sometimes compromised people end up making decisions that they would not make otherwise. And so the NHL is rightfully going to investigate these very public allegations, but they'd better do a thorough job on it. They've got an investigation ongoing around the Chicago Blackhawks right now over, sexual assault allegations from 2010. The NHL has to handle these issues in a forthright manner. Anything that looks like the league is trying to cover it up is going to be a PR nightmare. And that goes, for both of these cases. And obviously they have very different aspects involved. But the NHL in general tends to want negative stories like this to just go away. And sometimes they do. And that makes it worse, is that when it works some of the time, that they're not afraid to go back to that well and hope that it just kind of falls out of the news cycle. I think we're reaching a point where the drum is beating loud enough that if you're going to do investigations on the Blackhawks and on Evander Kane, they need to be credible, and they ultimately, they have to reveal the results, and whether that's embarrassing or worse, even criminal, people need to be held accountable. And so that's in the case of Kane, like surely the Sharks are aware of his reputation and stories about his high stakes gambling losses. So, they can provide some information on this for sure. Truthfully though, given the public nature of allegations against Kane, like the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Vegas accused him of owing them $500,000. And that was very public. Someone from the league probably should have had a discussion with Evander Kane at that point, if they hadn't already. And then when Kane filed for bankruptcy and claimed to have suffered $1.5 million in gambling losses in a 12-month period, there is another opportunity for the league to address the issue. And we don't know whether the league did or didn't. What we should know is that people were aware of this situation involving Evander Kane and whether that could make him vulnerable, right? If you run into an athlete who is millions of dollars in debt, there's a risk of them deciding to compromise the game. And now, as I said, how does a left winger, make it a profitable venture for somebody to bet on a crooked game? It's difficult. We'll say that. I do think that this is not a great situation here for the Sharks and Kane, and they're going to need a good thorough investigation to clean it up. So we will wait for that to happen, and when we come back, we will dig into the winners and losers of free agency so far in the NHL. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. The ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait for the person behind the counter to order parts on their computer when you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. On Rock Auto, it's $216. That is more money in your pocket. Rock Auto is a family business, serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Okay, we've got some good news and some bad news, so let's start with the good news. Let's look at the winners so far in free agency for 2021. And first up, we're going with Chicago Blackhawks. Now, you know, this kind of gets bolstered, I guess, by the recent decision by Marc-Andre Fleury to accept the trade that he's going to Chicago. And that should stabilize a position that was a question mark for the Blackhawks last season. The Blackhawks acquired Seth Jones and Caleb Jones to add to their blue line, and that probably helps. I'm not sure, you know, Seth's major risk here is that his monster contract, if he doesn't play at that level, that could be an albatross that hangs over this franchise for, you know, a decade. Between, you know, getting the Joneses on defense, Tyler Johnson, Jujhar Khaira added up front, and the prospect of Jonathan Toews returning for next season, that should give the Blackhawks some reason for optimism. Not oh, they're a Stanley Cup contender optimism, like, oh, maybe they have a shot at the playoffs optimism. You know, the Blackhawks had the worst expected goals percentage at 5-on-5 in the league last year. And so to start talking about them being, you know, Stanley Cup contenders, you're expecting every one of these additions to be just incredibly impactful for them. Like Marc-Andre Fleury is coming off the best season of his career as a 36-year-old, and he won the Vezina Trophy, and that's wonderful. He may not be able to do that again next season. Seth Jones, you know, his advanced numbers were not great last season, and sure, he's 26 years old. He could very well bounce back, and that's terrific, but he might not. And so, what do you do then? And you know, Jonathan Toews, having missed an entire season, you know, if he's back and fully healthy and plays like vintage Jonathan Toews, then terrific. But what if he doesn't? And so these are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of question marks here. You can see what the plan has been in Chicago is that they are spending big money to be competitive immediately. And in some ways, it looks like the approach of a front office that knows they might not ever get this chance again. Going back to the discussion before the break about, you know, investigations and finding out what happened in Chicago in 2010. But if that ends up being the case, well, they really took a swing for it in the summer of 2021. Now, the Winnipeg Jets, another team that looks like they've fared pretty well in this offseason. You know, few teams had a hole as glaring as the Jets did on defense, and they actively moved to improve that position. They traded to acquire Brendan Dillon and Nate Schmidt, both of whom are capable of playing in top four for, you know, the vast majority of teams in the league. And given, you know, the forward and goaltending talent that the Jets have, it was imperative that the Jets really go out and address the defense to give them a chance to be competitive. They probably need to still do some work on forward depth right now, but adding two top four defensemen when that is a screaming need for the franchise, that's a win for the Jets. How about the New Jersey Devils? You know, much like the Jets, the Devils recognized their blue line wasn't good enough, so they went for the biggest fish in the free agent pond. They signed Dougie Hamilton, but they also traded for Ryan Graves. They added a proven veteran goaltender in Jonathan Bernier. I mean, their goaltending situation last season got kind of thrown into flux when Corey Crawford retired, you know, shortly before the season started. And so they were kind of left hanging there. Getting Bernier, who is, he's been around NHL average, and, you know, that's kind of where he's hovered for most of his NHL career. That would be an upgrade in New Jersey if you compare him with Mackenzie Blackwood, and there's a chance there that with an improved defense, with some better goaltending, you give the young Devils forwards a little bit better chance to succeed. Another team that it would qualify as winners, I think, is the Columbus Blue Jackets, and, you know, given the pressure they were under to trade Seth Jones, you know, Jones had 1 year left on his contract, was not ready to sign an extension with Columbus. And so if you're the Blue Jackets, you're running the risk of losing him for nothing. So rather than do that, they trade him. And what they end up with? They end up with Adam Boqvist, they get from Chicago. They get Jake Bean from Carolina. And the 12th pick in the draft, which they used on forward Cole Sillinger. Plus, they also have another first-round pick either in 2022 or 2023. So that's a pretty nice return on a defenseman who has a strong reputation, but also, you know, some statistical warts that you know, might have given you some cause for concern. Somehow, Columbus also Jedi mind tricked their way into Seattle, taking defenseman Gavin Bayreuther in the expansion draft. And since Bayreuther was an unrestricted free agent, he just re-signed with the Blue Jackets. And really, he's an AHL player. He's 27 years old. Like, there's not a likely NHL role for Gavin Bayreuther, for the most part. But I've mentioned this several times, as I'm just baffled with Seattle passing on Columbus defenseman Dean Kukan. I don't know why they would just forego a legitimate right-handed NHL defenseman, given what we've seen over this summer, the prices to acquire a legitimate right-handed NHL defenseman. So, in any case, there's four teams that I think have fared fairly well so far this offseason: Chicago Blackhawks, Winnipeg Jets, New Jersey Devils, and Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, there's something to be said here, is that, you know, when you didn't have a great season last year, it's a lot easier to improve your team. You know, if you were a great team in 2021, it's not easy to improve on that, largely because, you know, players price themselves out of your roster, and, you know, when you're a team that's near the bottom of the standings, you have more salary cap room, you have kind of more room to maneuver. But I would say that those four teams have at least made some proactive moves in an effort to get better for next season. So when we come back, we will then look at the downside, some teams that are not looking quite as strong after the start of free agency. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have a bunch of delicious flavors. That includes coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. What a great variety that is. There should be something for everyone in that mix of flavors, but my favorite is salted caramel. I like the sweet and the salty combination there. But if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar. You get two of each of the flavors, sample them, decide which ones you like, and then order more of those. But with that wide variety of flavors, they're all covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste great. It tastes like a nice snack. And not only are they great tasting, but they're healthy too. And obviously that is part of the selling point here, is that your great snack also is good for you, in that it's loaded with protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which, under the current circumststances, that's kind of cool, right? So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, so now let's take a look at some teams that might be considered off-season losers to this point. And, well, we're going to start with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and this is not some hot take about how the Lightning are now doomed. I mean, they're back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Let's, you know, credit where credit is due. But on the contrary, they are likely to contend for the Stanley Cup again. I mean, they just have enough high-end talent that you can't expect that to just fade away. At the same time, they did lose an entire line. Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde, Barclay Goodrow, a line that was really important in their Stanley Cup runs. So that has to be kind of factored into what's happened this offseason, and it's not unexpected. You know, Coleman and Goodrow cashed in big time as free agents. Probably both got overpaid, and Tampa Bay is certainly in no position to be overpaying anyone. And Yanni Gourde was very naturally really appealing to the Seattle Kraken, there are some holes to fill. And Tampa Bay, they've added Corey Perry and Pierre-Edouard Belmar, and they'll promote players from within, like whether Ross Colton gets to move up in the lineup or whether that's opportunity for Alex Barré-Boulet to play a significant role next season. I mean, there are options here for Tampa Bay, but just to lose Goodrow, Coleman, and Gourde essentially for nothing, that's a bit of a hit to a really talented team. Also the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, again, I don't think this means the Hurricanes are, you know, sinking or anything, but they've lost Dougie Hamilton, and that's a big one. But they also lost some depth too. Brock McGinn, Morgan Geekie, Jake Bean, all moving on. And they've overhauled their goaltending, trading Alex Nedeljkovic. And then Peter Mrazek and James Reimer left as free agents. And they brought in Frederik Andersen and Antti Raanta. And that really doesn't add stability to the position. You know, Andersen and Raanta have had fine NHL careers, but both of them are injury risks at this point. And so I don't know that you can definitively say that Andersen and Raanta are better than the combination of Mrazek and Reimer, let alone what you might get out of Nedeljkovic, who was great last season, but great in 23 games. Overall, I mean, losing Dougie Hamilton is the big one for Carolina, but there are some other questionable things going on there that you can look at the Hurricanes and think of how wonderful their 2021 season is and think that expectations might not be quite as high going into next season. And how about the New York Rangers? Now, this isn't so much that the Rangers are necessarily worse going into next season, but maybe not as good as they could have been. Because the Blue Shirts came into the offseason very clearly. They had a plan. And it does seem they've kind of gone overboard on that plan. And they were upset. Tom Wilson assaulted Artemi Panarin on the ice last year, and they want to make sure that wouldn't happen again. So the Rangers have brought in Ryan Reeves and Barkley Goodrow and Sammy Blais and Jared Tenorti. They also added Patrick Nemeth. They sent Pavel Buchnevich to St. Louis in the trade for Blais. Colin Blackwell was lost to Seattle in the expansion draft. Overall, is that not a little overkill on the physical play when it's geared towards a guy, Tom Wilson, who fought four times last season? I mean, there's still an opportunity here for the Rangers to kind of reverse this evaluation of their offseason. I mean, they're probably candidates at least, but potentially favorites to land Jack Eichel. And so if they bring in Jack Eichel in addition to all that, and they did get Gerard Gallant as their head coach. And so those are, some things that are going in their favor. But boy, it seems that they have just decided to sacrifice skill for physical play. And I don't know that that's necessarily brought them the best value in return. The Arizona Coyotes are the one more team here that's had a tough time through the early offseason transactions. And the advantage for Arizona is that they're quite clearly trying not to be good next season, so they're accomplishing that a goal in sort of a backwards fashion. I mean, they've traded Darcy Kemper and Connor Garland and Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Aiden Hill, plus they lost Tyler Pitlick in the expansion draft. That's a pretty big dent in their roster. Now they brought in Shane Gostisbehere and Connor Timmins, which is good. They've added Ryan Zingle, Antoine Roussel, Louis Erickson, Jay Beagle, Andrew Ladd, Anton Strahlman, Carter Hutton, Joseph Kajanash. It's, that's not terribly encouraging when you look at their chances for the Coyotes next season. And, there may be long-term gain to come out of it, and that's entirely, a fair approach, I guess. But if you're looking at a team that's running a Hutton-Kajanash goaltending tandem, has holes kind of throughout their lineup, it does not look like they're really intent on contending next year. In fact, they're probably much more focused on ping pong balls next spring. So there we go. We've got Tampa Bay Lightning, Carolina Hurricanes, New York Rangers, and the Arizona Coyotes as the early losers in the offseason so far around the National Hockey League. And so that will do it for today. We will continue off season. There's going to be a lot of time to break down player movement and off season. I'll do specials for each team where we're going to kind of dig into changes on the roster, players who might break out, statistical oddities, what have you. And so that will be coming soon because this off season is still, it's relatively short compared to a typical off season, so hang in here. We're going to have hockey news all summer. Thanks for listening. Go check out the Fantasy, Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast as well. Obviously, very busy time there, too. The trade deadline having just passed by. But listen to both these podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.